All right, here we go. Another episode of The Extravaganza. Hi, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome with Inside Curling. We come to you each and every week, and we're happy you join us each and every week. And thank you for listening, and thank you to our great sponsors. And of course, first of all, thank you to Warren Hansen and Kevin Martin. Are you guys awake?
We are. Are you?
No. No, I'm not. I slept in. Welcome to the show. We want to thank, of course, Kevin and Warren. And we'd like to thank our great sponsors. We couldn't do it without them. Jackpot City, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. Here's what's on the show today. We've got a guest. I think I remember this guy. I think Brad Guzzo is our guest. Way to go, Kevin. The great wrangler, Kevin. You should sell your lassos, man, because you're really good. That was the Grand Slam of curling, the final one of the season, the Players' Championship in Toronto. Kevin was there. We're going to get the wrap-up of that. The World Mixed Doubles Championship starts in Sweden on Saturday, and we're going to review who's there, what teams, the format. Also, Hot Rock Topics. We're going to look at a couple of emails, and what are you hearing? We do it each and every show. We're going to change it a little bit. Usually we go to our guest spot right away, but we're going to go to what are you hearing? Because Kevin's got something very exciting for all of us to hear. And we can't wait for that, Kev. You've got some breaking news.
About 90 seconds ago. So this was not planned at all. This is right off of X, about 90 seconds ago. Mark Kennedy, Brett Gallant, Ben Hebert, and Coach Paul Webster will be going in a new direction for the 24-25 curling season and beyond. We have decided to make the change at the skip position, and we'll be considering our options in the coming days. Well, I think they've probably already made that decision, actually. But anyway, Brendan Botcher, he's been an outstanding teammate, friend, and goes on and on. Well, number Warren, I think Team Botcher's sitting number three in the world right now, aren't they?
They are number three in the world.
So that's an amazing announcement. We were talking about every year when it comes before the big year before the Olympics. So before next season, there's always some big changes that happen in the sport and teams that aren't doing as well as they would like to and so on, and you make a change. But did anybody out there of our listeners expect this one where Team Botcher is without Botcher? So that's big news, and there's not a chance in the world that that spot hasn't been filled. So now it's a matter of speculating. Okay, who filled it? I don't know if we should do that. If we should just go talk about the Canadian skips and go
eeny meeny miny mo. Yeah, right? Somebody's moving today that we don't know about yet.
There's probably not more than mo because there's just not that many.
Are they leaving, or did Botcher say I'm going to leave because I've got a team to go to?
Well, it said the release said here. Let me just read it again. Mark Kennedy, Brett Gallant, Ben Hebert, and the coach are going their separate way. So no, it was the team who did it. I have not talked to Brennan. This is just like now 2.5 minutes ago.
Right.
So it's just hot off the press. That's what's going on. It's a big deal. That's a big deal. And we haven't even brought up other teams. So that's the first, is that how you say it? The first shoe to drop?
Yeah.
Because other things are going to happen. Once one thing happens, it causes other effect, right? So who knows where it'll all go.
Why not have Brendan on the announcement though? Here it is from the Botcher team. Here's all of us. Kind of weird that they wouldn't include his name on it.
Well, they did, but obviously they have decided to go in a different direction. Maybe he didn't agree with.
I hope he didn't read it 90 seconds ago, too.
They're parting ways. Yeah, maybe.
No,
yeah,
maybe, no kidding.
Maybe guys. He didn't even know. Who knows? This has happened before, as we're well aware. So that's the first one.
We don't want to speculate any further. This is off of X, so it's real. So
I've got Botcher's number. I'm going to phone him.
What about some of the other ones here? So like Jennifer Jones is gone. Who's going to skip that team? What's going to go on there? I mean, we've heard some rumors, maybe Chelsea Carey. I don't think Carly Burgess is probably going to skip. She's always been a vice skip pretty much. Who could be
the skip? She's a good player though, Warren. She's good.
She's a good player.
She's a good player. Absolutely.
So maybe she will move up. But then there's going to be potential of some more movement. We look at a team like Caitlin Laws. They did not have a good year. Wouldn't be surprised if some things were to happen there. So another interesting announcement yesterday, Karsten Sturme, a great young player coming down the ranks. And he announced yesterday, him, along with the lead player on the team, are going to retire, Curtis Gawler. Second, Glenn Vance, and third, Kyle Doering, are going to continue to curl, but the other two guys have retired. So They're young guys. Why is that happening? We're seeing that happening quite often here in the recent years, where some of these young players just getting into things and decide they're not going to continue. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, it depends on which case. You know, a lot of, you know, sometimes they go into medical school, or they get, you know, they're going to be a lawyer, or, you know, they got some engineering or whatever case may be, and they've got some great things ahead of them, and they decide, you know, they weigh the differences. Okay, hang on here. I could curl, which is really fun, but I'm young, and boy, it's going to take a long time to beat a guy like Brad Guju. But on the other side, well, we could go to work, and if I've got this education, I can make a pile of money and get married, have kids, and have, you know, a really good life.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of a life decision, not so much a, well, I'm tired of curling. I don't think that's it at all. Carson Sturmey, that's a sad one, because he's good. He's a really good curler, and to have him step away from the sport is not good to hear.
I think he's only 23, I think is what the announcement said.
Or come up with more cash so these guys can,
yeah,
right?
So that would certainly help the situation.
To catch up a little bit with every other sport. We're not talking millions.
I might ask that question of a fella here in just a minute.
Yeah, I mean, we take a look at the Masters on Sunday, and I think the winner got around $3.5 million. And Brad wins the Players' Championship, and it's not quite that much.
No. And split nine ways. Probably on a curling team. Yeah.
Are you getting a split too, Jim?
Coaches, bus drivers, all that stuff. There we go. Well, that's huge news, Kevin. And well, we'll ask Brad about it. We're going to bring him on.
Let's bring that guy in through the door, shall we?
Let's bring him on. He knows how to get in here. We've got a heck of a guest. In the House is brought to you by Goldline. Goldline Curling's Impact Rooms. Maximum performance for carry, hold, and carve. Learn more at goldlinecurling.com. The one and only, right off the recent victory of the final Grand Slam, Brad Guju joins us this morning. Brad, where are you, man? Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. I'm finally home after 3.5 weeks, so I'm excited to be back in my house and sleep in my own bed.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk about the week that was, Brad.
It was interesting, to be honest, because I would say of all the weeks we played all year, that may have been the worst. Like, we didn't play very good. We just found ways to win. And, you know, the rattle off the three wins that we had in the playoffs against really, really good teams. Just, we made the right shot at the right time and got a couple misses. And it was just one of those weeks that worked out where, you know, if you play as long as I have, you have a lot of weeks where you play great and you don't win. So, you know, you enjoy these weeks where it all worked out for you.
What's the combination you need, Brad, to win those big events? You know, guys talking about, you know, preparing for it different ways. What do you guys look at if there's sort of a top three that you need when you do go into these?
You know, I think luck and timing is a big portion of it right now at the top level, because teams are so good. You know, I think what you can handle in yourself is really just embrace and enjoy the moment. Like, when you get down to those real clutch times in the final or a semifinal and you got to make a shot, like, I think the fact that our team has been in those situations so many times and we've had success, that you can kind of rely on it and you're not getting as nervous as what some other teams probably do in that situation. I think that plays to our benefit as well. But, you know, if I look at last week, it really was just timing that allowed us to win. But, you know, we are a good enough team that we don't have to play our best to win, you know, and if everything works out, you can come away with it. But, you know, we put ourselves in position to allow that to happen. And that really just comes down from being a skilled team, a team that works hard at it and that has a ton of history and experience being in those moments.
Before I bring in Kevin and Warren to talk about all the many things that was for you this week, Kevin just dropped a bombshell. Kind of weird, big announcement for sure. So Mark Kennedy, Brent Gallant, and Ben Hebert and the coach went on Twitter and said, Brendan Botcher is no longer part of the team. We're going separate ways. What's your reaction to all of that?
I was aware of it. I got the news last night. Curling world's really small, so things spread really quick. I'm surprised by it, to be quite honest. I thought they had a pretty good couple of years. Obviously, they didn't win the Brier, which would have been a big goal of theirs. But they, you know, they had some success in slams and you know, in other events as well. I I'm surprised because Brendan is a really, really good player and probably one of the top, if not the top up and coming player in Canada. You know, he's got some pedigree behind him. He's won a Brier. He's won junior championships. He's won slams. So, you know, you don't know the internal workings of a team. So I can't speak to that. You know, I can't judge the decision because I don't know what every person was feeling within that group. But certainly, you know, from the outside and from a performance standpoint, I'm a little bit surprised that it happened.
Well, you've got to think that you're maybe a little bit to blame because you're the one who keeps winning this stuff. So they phoned you last night, you know, their changes are being made and you got to be thinking, well, I got to be a bit of the cause of that.
Well, you know what? I got to imagine for that team when it was put together, their goal was to win Briars and get to the world championships. And you know, they were right there. Like, I think they were semifinalists in both years. So, you know, it's not that they weren't capable of winning. It was just, again, coming down to timing, making the right shots at the right time, having a great game when you need it. You know, I don't think that timing probably worked out for them as well as what it did for our team over the last couple of years.
So two more things, and I want to bring Warren in. But the first one is, I've been hanging with you for the last many weeks lately between Switzerland and Toronto. To me, it surprised me that two of the teams from the Worlds played in the final because both you and Tornaz have just got to be just done. You and I talked after the last game and my goodness, your eyes were like, they're gone. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that. How in the heck two teams from the Worlds managed to get to that final? I think that's the first thing.
Yeah, I think we were all surprised because there was four teams in the playoffs from the World Championships. And having talked to Bruce and Joel about it, I think we were all surprised that we had gotten there because we were all feeling very similar. Like we were just so run down and fatigued. But then, you know, having that conversation with Ryan Fry during one of the breaks in the final, you know, he brought up a good point that, you know, cream rises to the top. And I think those four teams that made it, you know, ourselves, Bruce and Nick and Joel are four of the top teams in the world. And I think that's why we were there at the end of the week, even though we were fatigued, you know, we're still really good and still able to make shots. And, you know, I think the other point too, like there's some benefit to playing through, like you get in the rhythm and you kind of get used to playing those games. For some of the other teams that didn't get a chance to play in the World Championships, many of them had a fairly long break from the Brier to the Players Championships, or maybe even a little bit longer than that. So there's the bonus to having that run up into the Players Championship.
Okay, one last question here, and that's the news of Carsten Sturme, who of course is very, very good, very skilled, young player, deciding to take a different direction and not continue curling. We've heard that a fair amount over the last few years, Brad. Zacharias, Emily last year, and so on. Over the last few years, there's been some young people that have decided to go a different direction. I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts of why you think that is, and a remedy. Maybe it's, do we need to get this the money built up in our sport? Like what? I guess what's going to be able to keep these young, fantastic athletes involved? Because we hate to lose them.
Yeah, I think it really does boil down to money. I think that's the one and only factor. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know, assuming they have the love for the game, and I kind of assume that they do because they wouldn't have played for as long as they have and at the level that they have if they didn't love it. It really comes down to a point in your life where you have to make the decision, do I follow a career path, you know, more traditional career path of you know, going to school, getting a job, working your way up that corporate ladder, or do I try and bang my head and live off pennies playing curling until I can get to the top level and make a little bit more from it? That route is extremely challenging because there's so few teams that are making any money in the world of curling, and the amount of expense that you have to outlay to get to that level is incredibly high. So if you don't have the sponsorship, you know, it's almost impossible to do. You know, that's why I think we're seeing so many international teams step up now, is because many of them are getting funding through their governments and actually are getting paid as jobs. You know, it makes it easier for them to continue that grind to get to the top of the world, where, you know, Canadian teams now and Canadian athletes don't have that significant government support that some of the international teams have.
Hey, Warren, go ahead. Thanks. Thanks, Brad.
Congratulations, Brad, on an outstanding year. Phenomenal. So now the season has ended. You've got about four, I guess, maybe almost 5 months until things start to go again. The four of you are in different parts of Canada. What will you do with your team between now and September, preparing for next year? What's your process?
Well, I think one, we got to figure out how we can still get better. You know, we had a good year, but we were still third in the world. So there's still two teams ahead of us that we've got to find a way to improve. You know, I think that's going to happen in the short term in the next couple months, figure out what we need to do to get better. And then really, you know, doing whatever work we can over the next number of months to get there, whether it's getting in better shape, could be adjusting the schedule. It could be, you know, a change in game plan or game style. You know, all of these things are going to happen, but for the first few weeks, it's really going to be just shutting everything off and recovering, I think, is going to be the biggest thing for us. But typically early June, we start to get in that planning process, late May for next season. So we've got a few weeks to recover and, you know, we're going to be in constant communication in those 6 weeks, like maybe not every day, but certainly every week we're going to be in touch and seeing where we're at and how we're feeling. But yeah, just trying to evolve and get better is what we got to look at. Cause you know, the teams from around the world, they're so strong right now that, if we take our foot off the gas, we're going to fall back pretty quick.
So will the four of you get together a few times between now and September and to train, or what exactly is that process for you?
No, based on last season, and that's what I'll go on because I have no idea what the next number of months are going to look like. You know, last season, we didn't get together too much during the summer. I went up to Edmonton in late August and saw Jeff, but really didn't see EJ much throughout the summer. You know, we would connect every couple of weeks as we were planning out our season and you know, working with sponsorship and doing sponsor events, constantly texting each other, sending, you know, little videos and doing the stuff that four guys do. But yeah, we will probably won't get together too much throughout the summer. For Mark and I, it's kind of, you know, we work together too. So getting a break from each other is usually a good thing. And because we spend so much time together during the season.
So let me ask you one more thing. The Pan Continental Cup has become a new event on the schedule the last couple of years. And it's important to Canada because we've got to finish in the top five there to get into the World Championship. And there's a little added curve added this year. China's going to be in that group, which they weren't last year. So as the Canadian champion, how does that work? Are you given the first option to go? And it's up to you whether you do that or not, or are you automatically the one going, and are you going to go?
Well, interesting story. We were told after we won the Brier that it was going to go to the CTRS spot, which looked like it was going to be Botcher, but we passed him after the Players' Championship. So I guess if it's CTRS or if it's the Brier winner, I think it's still going to be us. As far as our participation, I would say we're non-committal at this point. I'm going to have to hear a lot more about the event and how it's going to evolve from what it was last year. I think, you know, I've said more than enough on that. But
hey, you
no,
even
no,
dodged.
You always got more. You've always got
yeah,
more.
I do. You're right, Jim. I do have more, but I'm not going to say more. So I want to see how that evolves before we make any commitment to that. I think the bonus that we have this year is the Worlds are in Canada, so our participation is probably not as essential as what it would be any other year.
Brad, how do you this past few weeks, the schedule was, you know, just crazy. You getting over to Europe and then you know, getting back here and doing a bunch of stuff. How do you must have a stressful life. How do you handle that? How do you handle stress?
I think I handle it better than most. I've been working with a sports psychologist now since I was probably 18, 19 years old. And I think some of the skills that you develop there from a sports standpoint really do help you in a daily life and dealing with other stresses. So, you know, the biggest challenge for me, I think, that I experienced over the last 3 weeks was the time change. You know, it's not even playing the 21 games in 13 or 14 days or whatever it was. Like, we're all in physically good shape. Like, we can manage that load. But it was the time change on top. And then I would guess the pressure of each and every one of those games. And also not only the games, but in between those, like, you know, Kevin and Warren haven't played in Breyers or Worlds. Leading into a World Championship final or a Breyer final, like those 24 or 48 hours before that, those are the most stressful time. It's not the 3 hours out on the ice. Like, you know, you're worrying about what may happen, how you're going to play and all that stuff. That's the stressful time. When you get out on the ice and you can actually play, all of that kind of goes away. So to have that amount of anxiety, I guess, you know, over a continuous period of time, like 3 weeks that we had, or, you know, 2 weeks, I guess, that takes its toll. And then you throw in the time change that we experienced when we went back to Toronto. It just layer on layer, it was a lot to handle. And certainly I felt it both physically and mentally in the last couple of games in Toronto.
So not only all the curling, family, business, traveling, you knocked out your MBA. That's what you did on your break.
I have no plans of that this summer. It's going to be a much more low-key summer than some of the ones in the past.
Yeah, take it easy, Brad. You're a relaxed man. You're quite a guy. Thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations. I'll tell you what, you're home after 3.5 weeks. You got about 9 hours of laundry to do, man. You can only turn your socks and underwear inside out so many times. Huh? So
it is true.
Brad Gushue, thanks. Thanks a million, Brad, for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. What a fantastic year. And there's no letting off when it comes to your team. So keep it up, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. See ya.
Thanks, Brad.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Well, there he goes, stuffing medals in his pocket. Brad Gushue. Brad Gushue. Okay, by the way, it's not Gushue. It's Gushue. Did you guys know that, Warren?
Yes, Jim. Is it Jerome or Drome?
Drome, yeah. What would my day be without your massive condescending tone with me? Interesting, we have on Brad the same time that one of the great teams breaks up. Kev, there's no breakup in the Gushue team. They're rolling.
They're rolling. Yeah. No. I was just sort of bugging him that he caused it, but he kind of does. You know, like when you have a team that's like that keeps winning, it is very frustrating for teams trying to catch up. And, you know, and it makes them try to figure out, okay, how are we going to beat this guy? So that's kind of one of the big things, I think, is trying to, okay, how do we rig a team that can beat Brad Gushue? That's kind of where it's at. So you know, I was joking with him, but kind of not, you know, kind of joking, but kind of not.
Yeah. Warren, the other thing with Brad is, you know, people listen when Brad speaks. You know, he's the man, right? Because everyone knows he will speak about things. He is outspoken. He's not shy. Do you think maybe it's careful what you wish for? Yeah, like if I'm Brad, once in a while I might be, okay, just leave me alone. I love curling and all that stuff, but I don't want to be this guy all the time that people come to say, what do you think? What are we going to do about curling and sponsorships and all that stuff? Must be a bit of a pain in the butt for him a little bit.
Well, he's the guy at the top of the mountain right now, and the other guy in the show, Kevin, was there for a long time, so he's probably one who can speak to that better than I. But it's part of, I think, what comes along with being kind of the old established guy on the circuit, and the one who's knowledgeable and the one who's prepared to say what's on his mind. So, I mean, Kevin was there. Go for it, Kevin.
Did you like that role, Kev?
I like it. Oof. I kind of liked it. Shauna definitely didn't like it. Because, you know, that is your responsibility. And, you know, Brad and I, we get along great. And we've talked about this. And he's the guy. It's his job. And should it be his job? Maybe not. But it is. You know, that's the way it works in curling. And he's the big dog right now. But he's quite involved behind the scenes trying to, you know, keep the game progressing. And that's what I tried to do back in the day with getting the Grand Slam started. And now it's time to move it to the next steps. We, you know, we don't lose young kids that we're losing in our game. So we need to get it worldwide. And we have a massive international audience. It's a matter of getting it there.
We thank him for joining us. He's been on lots, boy, and we sure appreciate that. Okay, let's whip along. What's happening around the curling world is brought to you by Jackpot City. Jackpot City casino games, perfectly made for you. Kev, you're first up on this. Of course, the Players' Championship ended. We know who the winner is. How was the week, Kev?
It's been in the old Maple Leaf Garden in Mattamy Athletic Center for quite a few years now, and this was the best one. A few years ago, they had a great one. It was just a terrific event, big crowds, like really, really good. This was better. It was just really well ran. The teams, especially the men's teams, the women's worlds ended a while ago, so they came in pretty sharp and fresh, but the guys didn't. They came in, the ones that came from the worlds, they came dragging their butt pretty good. And for those teams to be able to recover, obviously get as much rest as they possibly could so they could compete at that level, is really quite remarkable. And I think the fans really appreciated it. Like, how in the world can these guys come back? Like, Nicodem, remember we had him on the show, Jim?
Right.
He was a mess. Like, he could, like, you know, he said, I'm going to go 0-5. But you know what? Right. He got some sleep. And to Brad Guju's point, they're in fantastic physical shape. They just need some sleep and a few burgers and okay, right, here we go. And you know, they managed to somehow be able to come back. You actually had, out of the six qualifiers in the women's and the men's, you had four from the women's worlds and you had four from the men's worlds. And then you had two that weren't part of the worlds. So that's pretty outstanding to see these teams be able to recover and get back in there. And I know the crowd definitely appreciated their hard efforts.
Warren, you always have a different slant on these big events.
Well, I'll make a few comments. It was an outstanding event, very entertaining. From a Brad Guju end of things, his 15th Grand Slam, but only his second Players' Championship. But he's got three to go to catch up to the other guy in this podcast, so we'll see if he can do that. Terenzoni, as much winning as she done, that was only her fourth Grand Slam, but only her first Players' Championship, which is kind of amazing considering the dominance she's had over the sport in recent years. But outstanding performance by both teams. If I look at some of the percentages in the final game, Terenzoni, Elena Pats played 80%, which again, pretty outstanding considering that Rana only played 67. Guju played 82%, but Ratanas only played 61. So certainly without question, the two teams that end up being the winner were the dominant ones. If we look at the world positioning right now, you're kind of on the women's side. You've got two teams that are really standing out amongst the rest, Holman and Terenzoni. But on the men's side, you've got four that are kind of right there. Guju, Ratanas, Edin, and Mowat are all neck and neck. And in any given day, if those teams are playing each other, anyone could win. So it's a little more competitive than it is on the women's side. I think Holman and Terenzoni, with a few exceptions, are pretty much the standouts on the women's side. So a great end to the season and a fabulous event.
Yeah, good wrap. Thank you, boys. And more news down the pipe.
There will be more news down the pipe, Jimmy, because once the first shoe drops, stay tuned. We'll probably in the next day or two or three, we'll have to have some special shows. We'll have to have some various players on when the rest of these shoes drop, as we all know they're going to. So we'll keep everybody in tune with what happens, because it's going to be a lot of exciting stuff. Right now, the phone lines are absolutely red hot across this nation in the curling circles. Guaranteed right now. Yep.
Player chess going on. So, Jim, we have to do our picks. Review our picks. You want to do that.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say that, Warren. And I know I picked Guju.
Yeah, we all did.
Okay, so...
So we were unanimous on that one.
Remember, Warren, if there's a tie, I'm the winner.
So you and I picked Terenzoni, and Kevin stuck with the horse he'd gone with from day one in Rana. So congratulations, Jim.
Thank
you're
the
you. Winner again.
Come on, Isabella. Make that double in nine. Three across the top of the forefoot.
Yep.
And she wins. Oh, I was thinking of you two. I was going to say a word that I can't say on, but as soon as that rock over curls and gives up the deuce, it actually Alina had a shot for three if she hits a little more on the center line side. But as soon as you miss that one, you're going, oh man, no, gone. You lose. But that was a heck of a game. You know, if Rano makes that last one of hers in seven, she's going to be one or two up going home. Alina wouldn't have had a shot. But just a little inside, and there you are.
Yeah, that's a lot of ifs, Kev, for you to try and pick your wins, okay? It's like, there's an expression, Kevin. It's called coulda, shoulda, didn't.
Yeah. No, and Isabella wouldn't argue it either. Don't. Yeah, she was just a little inside on that last one, and that did it.
Well, there we go. That's our picks. Next year, Warren, we're keeping a running total.
Yes, we will. I was thinking of that the other day. We've got to keep a running score here to see who really does the win, and we'll have to have a debate about whether you automatically get the bye here. We'll see.
We almost need to run a poll. We have so many thousands, yeah. Hundreds of thousands sometimes, of listeners. We need to have them. We need some kind of a poll. We got to figure that out. How can we have our listeners vote as well with us?
I got a feeling if you kept a running total this year, I would have won.
Yeah, maybe.
Exactly. You're speechless, both of you.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, next topic.
Warren, we got more updates. The World Mixed Doubles gets underway Saturday in Sweden. Tell us about some of the teams that are in the event, Warren, and how it breaks down. What's the structure?
You bet. Well, it's happening in Östersund, which is in the center part of the country. 20 teams involved. There's a Pool A and a Pool B. In Pool A, some familiar names. Kristine Kaskelen and Magnus Nedergaarden from Norway. Stefani Constantino, Francisco Dizana from Italy. Notice that Massaner is not playing with Constantini. Yannick and Breyer Schwaller, representing Switzerland. In Pool B, Rasmus and Isabella Rana, representing Sweden. Matt and Becca Hamilton, the USA. And for Canada, Colton and Quadrina Lott. So those are the names that we'd be most familiar with that are participating. As I mentioned, two pools of 10 are going through a round robin. The top three teams from each section will advance to the playoffs next weekend, and is very much a similar situation to what was used at the World Championship this year and the last Slam, whereas the top team in each section will get a bye to the semifinal, and then the other four teams will play off to see who's going to be the opposition for those two teams in the semifinal. So we'll have an update on that whole situation next week as to who wins the World Mixed Doubles Championship.
Kev, you've always got the scoops. Why isn't Mo Zahner playing?
Could he be tired?
Of course not.
From men's worlds and then over to the players and playing in the final. And then, oh, man. So I do not have that scoop other than I'm sure he's okay with not having to play another championship right away.
You're a big fan of the mixed doubles, Kev.
I'm a huge fan of the mixed doubles. Yes, love it. It's so fast. Love covering it in the World Championship or at Olympics. It's fast moving and some wild shots being tried. Yeah, I really do enjoy it a lot. I believe it's going to continue to grow. You know, we need to get more and more kids into it. That's really important at the junior age. Because it's just not quite enough of that, I think, at a young age. Because how can be more fun for a kid? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You throw, you jump up, and you sweep, and it's crazy, and it's fast, and you're done in about an hour and 20 minutes, and it's just a great game for young people. So we just need to get more and more events for young people.
Cool. There you go. That is what is happening around the curling world. Next up, Hot Rock Topics, brought to you by Coyote Tractor. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, ZTRs, and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. Let's go to an email. Hi, my name is Mike. I'm from Saskatchewan. I love the show, especially Jim's comedic talent. Clearly, this guy's a member of Mensa. He's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. On the show, you talk a lot about the provincial system and how sometimes it hurts Canada's ability to send the best teams to the world. One of the things I've always wondered, are these provincial championship tournaments profitable for the provincial association? That's a good question. Also, if so, is having the four best teams in Canada getting automatic entry to the Scotties Briars hurting the provincial association's ability to raise funds for youth development and recreational curling? One more thing. If not, why should provincial associations spend money that could go towards youth development instead on a championship that doesn't help improve and might even hinder Canada's chances at winning on the world stage? Warren, over to you, my friend.
Well, I guess he's got a couple of points there. This is an interesting topic because certainly in the bigger provinces, that would be probably BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, in particular the Prairie provinces, they have used these provincial championships on the men's and women's side, particularly the men's side, to raise funds for the organization. And certainly having these banner teams in those provincial championships does make a difference to them. But on the other side, it's taking another week out of the lives of these top players, and they've got to go through a grueling grind again. And at the end of the day, there's no monetary reward for them in any way, shape, or form for participating at these provincial championships. Well, meanwhile, if there's anything made out of them in these bigger provinces, that goes towards the association. And the smaller provinces, I don't think many of them probably have the opportunity of making much out of their provincials, and maybe it costs them more than they make. But nevertheless, it's an interesting topic, and again, something that's never been really dealt with, I think, head on between the national body and the provinces with regard to the participation of these top guys in these provincial championships. And of course, now we've got four of them this coming year in both the men's and women's that will not be participating. So a good topic, Mike, to bring up at this point.
Can provincial championships make money for the provincial associations? Yes, no question. In certain provinces, for example, right now in Alberta, you've got, last year, because we don't know who's skipping what teams now, we don't know, but you had Cooey and Botcher and Sturme and Stuchinski, four really, really good teams. So that would make a heck of a provincial. But instead at the provincial this year, Cooey and Stuchinski were there. They played in the final, but they were both already in the Brier before they played the final. So there wasn't a lot of drama, of course. Whereas it used to be a few years ago, there'd be Kevin Cooey, Furby, and ourselves, or back in the day, ourselves and Ryan and Lukewich. And, you know, you battle out and only one team could go. So it was a very popular event. And so that's one side of it. Yes. Would it be better for the provincial associations if the top teams were playing at the provincials? Yes. Now, the other point, though, which was really good, is that we want our best team to win the national championship so we have the best chance at a podium finish at the Worlds. There's no question about that as a national body. So you need the best teams. So you really have to make sure the top six teams or eight even are in our national championship. So you have to, you have certain provinces where there's just too much strength. So we can't have that. So you've got to make sure the top six or eight are in there no matter what. So that takes away from the provincial group. Yes, but it certainly helps our chance at the podium, which is, I think, more important.
Well said, boys. You good listener. You have the luxury of listening to shows after it's edited. And one day we're going to put out a show, okay? One day, to give the listener an idea of the challenges that I caused the producer and the editor. how he does actually piece a show together. That's Mike Rogerson. Mike, thanks. Okay, off you go for the next 13 hours straight to edit another show. Warren and Kevin's fault, Mike. Don't blame me, all right? We want to thank Rod Paulson. I kid. We want to thank Rod Paulson, his company, In-House Strategies, for all the great work. We recognize him each and every week because he certainly deserves it. Go look at our Facebook group and our Facebook page. Whip on there. Warren looks at it a lot, and I do too. And you may get your ideas, thoughts, or email read on the show. You want to email us? InsideCurling@gmail.com. That's InsideCurling@gmail.com. Thanks a lot to Jackpot City, Coyote, and Goldline, who make this show, Inside Curling, possible. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, or you'll hear us next week. I hope everyone liked our Elvis impressions, you guys. It was pretty good picture, right? We look good. Warren, Kevin, our two World Curling Hall of Famers. Thanks, boys. Great job, Kev, getting Brad on. Congratulations to him. And congratulations to Team Botcher. Probably not, I guess. You know, I don't know if that's right. See ya. See ya, Warren. See ya, Kevin.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jim.